It is that time. Good morning, beautiful people. Happy Monday here on 104.5 The Zone. We appreciate you guys spending your time with us from 10 to 1. Lucas is here, I am here, and we are rocking on this mock draft Monday. We got a lot of stuff to get to over the course of this show. A lot of draft talk. We are in the waning moments. The countdown has begun. Less than probably, wait, what are we, 10 days away from the NFL draft? So we're going to have a bunch of draft conversation. Dane Brugler of The Athletic, the man responsible for the beast, the biggest, baddest draft evaluation handbook that there is. Dane is going to join us, and we're going to get into the draft conversation at great length over the course of this morning. We'll talk some Vols, some Vandy baseball. Tony Vitello. Not Vitello, Lucas, Vitello. We'll argue about that over the course of this morning, I'm sure. The head coach of the Volunteers baseball squad going to join us coming up next. We'll get into that. A really fun series over the weekend. Didn't end the way that the Vols wanted it to, but definitely some things to be learned from how they performed against, you know, the top two teams in the country. Vanderbilt coming in at number two, and obviously Tennessee number five. Before the weekend, we'll see where they land after the series and when the rankings are redone. We have some very, very, very special birthday shout-outs to send over the course of today. We will do that at some point. But in the meantime, we start in the obvious place. Lucas sounds terrible. Your voice sounds so bad.
Is that bad?
It's so bad. Like, so bad. It sounds like somebody took a cheese grater to your vocal cords. I don't know what you did this week. I do know a little bit about what you did this weekend because I was with you for a part of it, but I need to know what the hell happened to your voice that you sound this bad on a Monday after having a full day to recover yesterday. By the way, if you want to jump in on the conversation, 615-737-1045 is the number, 615-737-1045. We're live streaming on Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, and Twitch TV. If you want to interact with the show, I've got all of your comments, literally all of your comments from across the four platforms in front of me. So we will read them and interact with you guys over the course of this morning. What's wrong with your voice? What happened to you?
Well, it was starting to go late last week. Like, I did a couple games outside in the cold, windy weather, and I could feel the dryness and the scratchiness. It was not ideal. I didn't help myself over the weekend. Obviously, we went to the soccer game. Things that we did after the soccer game, had a whole day of recovery yesterday. Obviously it wasn't enough. Hopefully back on track tomorrow.
Things that we did after the soccer game, very generic by you. Nothing incriminating in there. Yeah, so Lucas and I went to the soccer game. Lucas and I went to the Nashville SC game. It was my first Nashville SC game, and I had a fantastic time. The thing outside of the soccer itself being entertaining, like, the folks at Nissan Stadium did a really, really good job making me want to come back. Now, here's what I'll say, because it's been a long time since I've been to a sporting event as just a fan. Like, nothing work-related. Sounds games, I don't necessarily count them, because I would pay $9 to go to a Sounds game and not even look at the field. Like, you walk right past the playing field out to the bandbox and you start drinking. That's what you do at a Sounds game. At least that's what most people do at a Sounds game. So I don't necessarily count those as sporting events that I've attended as a fan. Whereas Nashville SC versus FC Cincinnati, like, I was locked in on the soccer. The shot disparity alone. Nashville, I mean, they had a slow start. They got off to a slow start, picked it up in a major way, 32-7 shot disparity between Nashville SC and FC Cincinnati. That Cincinnati goaltender was all over the place. He shouldn't pay for another meal for the rest of the season, the way they were making that man work. Because Nashville was in there, in Cincinnati's end the entire time, just burying them. But more than anything, you know, because we're not gonna do a bunch of, well, Lucas would like to do, and Lucas will in fact be doing hardcore soccer analysis when?
Tomorrow night, Nashville Soccer Show, 9 p.m., Will Bowling, Davey Shepherd, and myself.
Okay, so check that out. So Lucas we'll do the heavy lifting of the in-depth soccer analysis with Will Bowling and Davey Shepherd then. But for me, like, my biggest takeaway was they made me want to go back. Like, that's the biggest thing. When you talk about any of these new teams that, you know, are in town now or potentially MLB could come to town, even though it seems like at this point they're largely spinning their wheels, no actual traction on the MLB to Nashville stuff. Soccer is here. And like my biggest question with the soccer team was, okay, how do you get the casual sporting fan? Well, you get the casual sporting fan by making the experience and the product, like the product has to be good. And obviously this is a playoff team that you saw a season ago, their first MLS season. But yesterday I was thinking, okay, they have to score like consistently to keep me engaged. I'm not a hardcore soccer fan. I'm really not much of, it's no slight against the sport. It's just not something that I generally pay attention to. MLS, EPL, whatever. But the product on the field was such that I had to keep my eyes on the pitch the entire game. And that I felt, given my experience in Nissan Stadium and how long it's been since I've been at a sporting event as an actual fan, like they really made me want to go back. They got me.
Well, put it this way. We talked about the somewhat unfair narrative of Nashville being a defensive team and a low block that just absorbs pressure.
Didn't see that.
If I told you that was the case before the game Saturday, and then what you saw on the field Saturday, two very different things.
Oh, yeah. Well, what you did was you did it right for my expectations, because I heard you talking about you got Will Bowling's tickets to go to the soccer game, and I was sitting at dinner on Friday night with my girlfriend, and I said, hey, you guys want to go, you know, you get a couple friends, we'll go to the soccer game. Or something like that. I've never been. Why not? The ticket's totally, totally reasonable to sit in the lower bowl. Very, very reasonable. And on top of that, like, I'm one of these people who would advocate for social distancing in sports long after COVID is over, because it made it so much easier to get in and out of the stadium. You don't have to mess with people around you. It's not like there was an environment. There was a clear environment. And the thing that they do with the guitar riff before every game, I did not know that was a thing before each and every game.
Yeah, right up to kickoff. Last year they had to do it where they played it on the telecast. The guitarist would record it from home, but it was so good to have it live and in person again.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, like, they made it a good enough environment, and also I wasn't surrounded by people, was not surrounded by people in a way that made me uncomfortable. Not just because of COVID or anything like that, but it was nice to be able to be comfortable in the stadium. Also, the weather was great. Like, it all lined up perfectly. And so I had a lot of fun at Nissan Stadium for my first Nashville SC game. What was also a lot of fun over the weekend, and we're going to spend a lot of time on the NFL draft this week, obviously. We're going to get into the draft conversation at length. But I had a lot of fun watching this Vandy Vols baseball series over the course of this weekend. Friday and Sunday, Vandy got the win. Saturday, the Vols took advantage of the rare hole in Vandy's game. Jack Leiter is one of the best pitchers in college baseball in the country, without question. And he didn't have his best stuff consistently. Now, you saw Evan Russell take advantage with a 3-run homer. Evan Russell obviously leading the team in home runs at this point. He got another one after the game was well in hand for Vanderbilt on Sunday, 10 to make it 10-4. But that series, one, elite uniform matchup, without question. College baseball uniforms, spectacular between Vandy and the Vols. And I knew on Saturday when John Fulkerson threw out the pitch, the first pitch, I thought there was no way that that the Vols were going to lose. But that was a very, very competitive series, or a more competitive series, I think, than people are accustomed to, given how dominant Vandy has been. And we'll get into what Tim Corbin said about COVID and everybody making such a stupid deal out of that. I'm going to yell at a bunch of people coming up about that here in a second. Terry Randolph chimes in on Facebook Live. If you would like to chime in on Facebook Live, Terry Randolph says, Buck is butt ugly. Damn. Yes. Good morning to you, Terry. Happy Monday.
How you want to start your week?
Oh, yes. You love to see it. 615-737-1045. So we're going to talk about the Vandy and Vols series over the weekend, but that day that we had Saturday, because Saturday Lucas and I Lucas met up with a group of my friends, and you brought your roommate Blue, whose name is actually Blue. That's not like a nickname. That still catches me off guard. That Blue is his God-given
catches
name.
Catches everybody off guard.
It should.
You should hear him like putting in orders when they ask for a name. Blue like the color every time.
Yeah. Oh, Bucket is asking for a Super League. Can we get Lucas's take on the Super League while we're here? Yeah, no, save it for the soccer show. Bucket, I'm sorry. I can't do that this morning. I would be completely lost. Lucas has his own soccer show for that. Unless you can you fire off something very, like in 30 seconds, can you give people a take on the Super League?
It's something that could potentially bury European soccer and world soccer as we know it. I'll just put it that way. We'll save it for the soccer show. Podcast coming out with Speedway Soccer. There's a lot more that needs to be said about this.
Okay, so there you go, Bucket. Your Super League update. The Panzeca Preds update. Oh, tough times for the Preds. Not vibing right now. 615-737-1045. But I had so much fun. It's been so long since I've just been able to have a weekend as like a sports fan. This was the first weekend in a long, long time that I got to take advantage of. You know, we went out day drinking on Saturday. We went to a bar before the soccer game. We watched Tennessee and Vandy baseball on the TV at the bar. And then we went to the soccer game. Now, Lucas went out after the soccer game. There's zero chance in hell that I was going to make it out after that. But I had so much fun just being a sports fan for the first time in a long time this week. And it really, very refreshing. Very nice to have. But what is also refreshing is how good the Vols are, or how competitive the Vols are under Tony Vitello when it comes to baseball. To have an actual winner on campus, to have something, the environment at Lindsey Nelson Stadium on Saturday, or excuse me, all 3 days, spectacular.
Yeah, we're talking about mullet luges.
Ugh. That just what a terrible word. You know how like, so to describe for people who have not seen the video, you have seen the catfish luge where Taylor Lewan and the Titans offensive line, when they would go to the Preds games during the playoffs, would chug beer using a catfish as a beer luge. So somebody decided that it would be a good idea at Lindsey Nelson, a Vols fan in the student section, to chug beer that was running through another student's mullet in sort of a mullet waterfall situation. And it's as disgusting a thing as I've ever seen in my life. It also let me know that college sports is back, baby. Back and better than ever.
Yeah, if you told me 5 years ago they'd be doing mullet luges in Lindsey Nelson, I'd be like, for why?
I saw somebody tweet out, I think it was Braden Gall, tweet out, mullet luges or butt chug? Put it on the poll, Lucas. This is your university. This is who is out here making you proud. On it's not a not yesterday was not a nationally televised broadcast. I had to go to like SEC, ESPN, whatever the hell plus to go find this game.
But yeah, that was ridiculous.
That made me very upset. I just wanted to turn on the TV. Like, I understand that we live in a digital streaming world. Anyway, I'm gonna have many things to complain about. We'll get to it when I get to the notebook. But in the meantime, we're gonna talk to Vols baseball head coach Tony Vitello. He is coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. A lot going on this Monday. Big weekend in local sports. Big series for the Vols and Vandy in baseball over the weekend. Now, it did not go the way that the Vols wanted it to go, ultimately, but it was a very, very fun series to watch. Very, very competitive. And now we have Vols baseball coach Tony Vitello joining us on the show. Tony, good morning. We appreciate you taking some time.
Yeah, morning to you. My pleasure.
So, my producer Lucas is Italian, and we've been arguing back and forth about the pronunciation of your last name. The television broadcast says Vitello. The pronunciation guide on the Vols baseball website says Vitello. The Knoxville media, Tony, calls you Vitello. Lucas insists that it's Vitello. Can you settle this once and for all for us so I can yell at him?
Vitello, so yell away.
Thank you. It's a fine, Lucas. You have to pay a fine now.
That's fair.
That's it. Get out of here. $1 in the fine bucket for your for the way that you argue with me about this man's name. Tony Vitello, with us on the
Some people move from the old country or their own country, wherever it is, sometimes there's some Americanization that goes on of the name. So who knows? I'll take Coach V from our guys as long as they're winning games the way they have.
No question. You guys are off to a really, really good start this season, 10-5 halfway through SEC play. Of course, not going the way that you wanted to yesterday, but still a very, very fun season or a fun series to watch. I watched your post-game Zoom yesterday, Coach, talking about all the run-up to this series, all the excitement, all of the hype around it, and how your guys kind of manage that, because I know that's something that you want to try and keep. You want to keep your focus on the game, obviously, but that's good experience for your players to have to deal with those kind of expectations and still be able to come out and perform as well as they did. How did you think that the guys lived up to that expectation and kind of managed themselves and their emotions throughout the course of it?
I think they did well overall. I think they passed the test, if that's what you want to call it. It's really hard for me. We don't really try and strangle the life out of our players or micromanage too much. So, you know, what went on leading up to game one is tough for me to tell, but I am a big believer you can kind of gauge or get their temperature during pregame or the things leading up to the game. And the guys were relaxed. They were obviously excited, but it wasn't anything out of the ordinary the way they were acting. And then we ran into a buzzsaw with Rocker. I mean, timing is a huge thing in our league with 30 games. And I may sound like a poor loser, but I think we caught a bad break with him losing that game to Georgia and probably having his worst outing he'll have of the year against Georgia. And he came out with his hair on fire on Friday, and we just couldn't put anything together, even though we did find the barrel a few times against him and their relievers. And then Saturday was electric. But I will say, to conclude my answer, I think Saturday took a lot out of our guys, and it's a valuable lesson to be learned that, you know, you celebrate or you get caught up too much in that type of stuff, it can have a hangover effect. And on Sunday, I don't know that we quite had the same snap to us, but at the same time, Vanderbilt did, and they did a great job at the plate in particular on Sunday.
Without question, both two very fun teams to be able to watch over the course of the season. The environment that you guys had at Lindsey Nelson was spectacular. It's the first time, Coach, that I felt watching a sporting event that it felt like a real student section. Now, obviously, there's guys out there chugging beer through one another's mullets. I don't know how you feel about that. That doesn't seem necessarily like it would be according to the protocol. Looked like a good time as long as you're okay with a few strands of hair in your beer. But just the excitement around your program right now has got to be refreshing. One, and obviously you guys have been building up to this success that you're having over the course of this season, but just how supportive has the Knoxville community been of Vols baseball? Because my producer has been a fan of all things Vols for a long time, and I know he feels some type of way about the way that you guys have found yourself close to the top here at this point.
Yeah, well, in stages, it's gone as welcoming. Everyone was it just stuck out. It was different. And I've worked in the South, but I mean, it was, the people here were incredibly welcoming to me and everybody on our staff and just in general. And then it turned into support. What can we do? And things like that. But this year has taken on a whole new entity, and it's almost like it's now gasoline that's fueling the vehicle for us. And then I think our guys are giving back with the fact they play with a little bit of energy, and quite frankly, we've had a couple injuries, and I don't think our roster is quite as weighted in talent as Florida or Vanderbilt, but there's a little extra grit there. So I think the two are kind of feeding off each other, the fans and the players. But overall, big picture, for any sport on this campus, they're there. So, I mean, George Strait, who I love, but Garth Brooks, you know, that guy's had enormous crowds everywhere. His biggest crowd he's ever played in front of in his entire life was on this campus. Right. So if you do things in a way that Tennessee people will appreciate it, I don't know that there's another state where they'll come out in as big a numbers and as crazy a fashion. I mean, chugging the beer through a mullet's a whole nother level, but overall, they'll come out like maniacs if you do it right. I mean, Pat Summitt knows that, Rick Barnes knows it, Coach Fulmer knows it. And I hope that our kids get to experience it for quite a while.
Yeah, they seem to, your team seems to really be feeding off the environment, and obviously they're enjoying the success that you guys have been able to have over the course of the season and hope to continue to have. It's a team game, obviously, and I'm a Titans reporter by trade, so I know better than to ask Mike Vrabel about individual players and the success that they're having at any given point, but I can't help but come back, Tony, to what Evan Russell is doing for you guys right now. A solo home run yesterday to try and get you guys back in it. Obviously, the game at that point felt kind of out of hand, but the three-run homer on Saturday just lit the place up, leading so far this season your team with 10 home runs. What can you say about the kind of juice that Evan Russell is bringing for you guys on a day-by-day basis?
Yeah, well, first of all, Coach Vrabel's got a son that's pretty dang good at baseball as well. He plays the game hard, and that's the way we want our guys to play it, and that's what Evan Russell does. You know, he gets teased by our volunteer coach as being Rudy, you know, a kid that was just dying to be a Vol and then got his chance. Right. Now, he's more skilled than the movie character that, you know, went to Notre Dame, but that's kind of the guy he is. I mean, he plays – you know, even in practice, like every play is going to get us to Omaha, and he bleeds orange like no other. So I think when it's a moment where, there's a lot of emotion in the stadium and our pride is at stake and we're trying to make a significant amount of progress in our program, there's no better representative to have in the box. And, he's put a lot of icing on the cake. I don't even know if that's appropriate to say. It's grander than that. But what he's been able to do is incredible. But he's got that capability. Strong, strong kid. He's turned himself into, you know, a maniac in the weight room, and it's paid off for him on the field. So just really awesome to see a kid that loves this place so much do so much for it.
Balls baseball coach Tony Vitello here with us on 104.5 The Zone.
Coach, going back to that performance on Saturday, right, 3-for-3, obviously the three homers, six RBIs, and the grand slam that ended up winning it for you. When you look back at your coaching career, how does that individual performance at the plate stack up against anything else that you've seen as a coach? Just taking into consideration the performance, the environment, the matchup, just the overall situation.
That is number one by far. And I've coached guys that have done some pretty special things. You know, Aaron Sinney, a kid from Minnesota, goes to the Metrodome and has eight RBIs in a game. But that was a regular season game with nobody in the stadium. The fact that he's done it twice, I mean, the guy needs to play for the Preds. He's got two hat tricks. He did it against LSU, who started a first rounder against us in that game as well. So when you talk about the level of competition, the environment, the magnitude of the game, it's a better performance than I've ever seen anyone have at the plate. Or really just in a game in general. And you know, good fortune of being around guys like Max Scherzer and things like that. You know, he's so dang competitive. I hope he doesn't hear me say this, but I think it's the best performance I've been a part of when I'm in a dugout.
Coach, you guys halfway through SEC play at this point, an important game coming up against Tennessee Tech tomorrow night at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. How do you kind of continue to manage your team's expectations throughout the course of this as you look to further your success and find yourself in the College World Series?
Right. Well, a big part of it is that we haven't done some of the things that these other programs have. Now, there's no reason to bow down to them, and I think the teams we've played so far, like we were fortunate enough to beat Florida, they've got a recent national championship, which we do not. That's something we aspire to be or something that we aspire to have is, you know, Florida every year has talked about potentially going to Omaha. So we're not necessarily there yet. So putting that into perspective, I think, helps keep your head down and get after it, you know, in your preparation and keep perspective before and after games. But the other thing is the calendar. It was a huge series. And for our guys to experience that hype and go through all that came with it will benefit us in the long run if we allow it to. And it'll benefit us in May or June, not in April. And I'd much rather be Vanderbilt and be on the winning side of that series. But again, it is only April, and we want to play our best ball in May and have that bleed into June.
Raymond Pfister, one of our Twitch commenters, coach, has written in, been hearing for a lot of years that UT baseball was on its way back. Thank you, coach. We've seen it coming for real since you've been here.
Well, thank you, because I've said it before, and I don't ever want to sound corny or like a salesman, because it's honestly not in my blood, but when we got the job, we knew some good things could be done here, again, because of the fan base and things, but it was going to take a lot of work, and there's no way you can do it alone. Like, even our coaching staff, excuse me, too much yelling this weekend, even just our coaching staff or in recruiting, it's going to take more than that. It's going to take people in the community, the administration, facilities, fans, you good folks, including us on the show today. There is an army that's willing to get us to where we got to go. We just need to keep putting in the work.
Coach, interesting your comments after the series on Sunday, where you said you felt it was a very valuable weekend for your program. How did Tennessee baseball get better after the series loss to Vanderbilt?
Well, we will no longer play a game this year where we're facing someone's stuff that's better than those first two guys we faced.
Right.
And, again, it's the competition, so you hate to admit it. But our hitters should take confidence that they're as prepared as anybody. Because, again, if it isn't May, to me it's preparation. And if you don't win enough games, yeah, May's not going to mean anything. But we've got high standards around here, and it'll help prepare us. The other thing is, it's no longer a vision that we try to sell to Jake Rucker, you know, who's from, you know, JP over there in Nashville. We tried to sell him the vision that fans are going to come back and we're going to build onto this stadium and things like that. He's now seen it and experienced it and knows what it can be like. And he will also, along with our other players, know how to manage that because it's very emotional. And if you burn too many calories in the wrong areas over the course of a weekend, let's go ahead and say over the course of a regional, you may not have anything left in the tank in game five or game six of a regional. So I could go on and on of some things I listed in our group meet last night, but there were some things that occurred. And really, it's just one more thing that's another first or the first time in a long time, things in those type of categories for our kids. And the more of those they can put in their back pocket, then the better the Rolodex they're going to have to tackle situations in the future.
He is Coach Tony Vitello of the Tennessee Vols, kind enough to give us some of his time this morning on 104.5 The Zone. They play again at Lindsey Nelson Stadium against Tennessee Tech tomorrow night at 6:30 local time. Coach, we really appreciate you taking some time, and congratulations on all the success, continued success throughout the course of the season.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate support wherever it is in the state. And, you know, if there's ever anything we can do for you, let us know.
We appreciate that. Careful, we'll take advantage. Tony Vitello here with us.
All right, we'll see you.
Take care, Coach, on 104.5 The Zone. You got a lot to be excited about, Lucas. He's got the thing going in the right direction. And I understand, listen, we probably get some, I've seen some criticism so far in my mentions at least, or across the comments on Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, and Twitch TV, where you guys have been weighing in. You know, why are we not talking about Vandy baseball, who was victorious after this series against Tennessee? And I do want to make sure, and we'll spend some time on what's happening to Tim Corbin, because I think it's completely unfair, and it makes me very, very upset when we get to the notebook coming up next. But Vandy is so consistently good that I look at Vandy the same way that I do Alabama. In baseball, anyway. gotta make that qualifier clear. In baseball, Vandy is so monotonously good that it's less of a story, if that makes any sense. Now, obviously, they have some of the best talent in the country. They're one of the best teams on a year-in, year-out basis, and you want to give them credit for that sustained success, without question. But for the bigger number of the audience, rather, most of you are Vols fans primarily, and you have been so thirsty for a winner on campus. You finally have one. So even though, I'll be honest with you, okay, I was rooting for them to win yesterday so that Coach could come on after a win and talk about it, but I thought he was very, very good to come on anyway and spend some time with us. But to be able to have a winner on campus, a legitimately dominant team on the University of Tennessee's campus, I think means something to the larger audience listening here, even if it's in Nashville, even if it is on Vandy's home turf. And again, that is not to take anything away from Vanderbilt, because they absolutely smoked Tennessee in the two games that they won.
But they were a well-oiled machine on Sunday.
Oh, they were
at the plate.
They were beautiful. But beautiful to watch.
To me, it's like if Tennessee football in year two under Josh Heupel went down to the wire at Alabama and lost in overtime. You know, the story the next day would not be Alabama beats Tennessee for the millionth time in a row. It would be Tennessee hangs with Alabama in year two of the Josh Heupel era. And I do want to get to Tim Corbin this season. Vanderbilt's going to be a College World Series contender. We probably will talk to him on this show.
You have direct control over whether we talk to Tim Corbin. Exactly. You're going to do that? Or you're just going to say we probably will?
No, we do need Tim Corbin on this show, because I expect Vanderbilt to contend for a national championship this season. Everybody does.
100%. So we will give credit where credit is due. But I did want to spend some time on what the Vols are doing right now, because it has people like Lucas excited. It has people like Lucas's roommate Blue excited. Blue, who looks very much like he belongs on the mound, by the way, for the Tennessee Volunteers. That hair is unbelievable.
They do have an eccentric collection of hairstyles and hairdos.
All right, so I'm gonna show my ignorance a little bit. What's the name of the pitcher with the handlebar mustache for Tennessee? This man is it's immaculate. He looks like a 1915 baseball player. I can't think of the dude's name, but he was out there on the mound, and it made me want to care about Vols baseball more just because this man was out there with some flow and a handlebar mustache. Anyway, that will conclude our college baseball conversation, because it is, of course, the ramp up for the NFL draft. The NFL draft overcomes everything. And so that is what we will spend the bulk of our time on coming up next. Well, actually, we'll do the notebook next, but then we'll spend some time on the NFL draft. Lucas and I have done mock drafts. My first mock draft of the year. We have done one, both of us, for the Tennessee Titans. We'll tell you who we selected and why. But in the meantime, we're going to get to the notebook. Now, speaking of the NFL draft, though, I should remind you that 104.5 The Zone's 2021 NFL draft coverage is sponsored by our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Coming up next, we're going to empty the notebook because I got a little more on the Tim Corbin thing and a bunch of other stuff I want to complain about, which we do every Monday at this time. That's up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. You love to hear it. Faith Evans. Well, not Faith Evans here on 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here on 104.5 The Zone with you until 1 o'clock. We'll empty the notebook here in just a second. Meantime, we got some birthday shout-outs we got to send, Lucas. A couple of birthday shout-outs we got to send. We will get to the most important. We will save the best for last, as is the custom, as is the saying. But first and foremost, a very happy birthday to Vols great Candace Parker.
A queen.
Wait, where's Stephen A?
And happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
All right. See, now you're saving that.
Now you've disrespected. You've disrespected Candace Parker because you haven't taken the time to edit Stephen A and have her version and a him version.
What do you want me to do with that? You want me to do a voiceover?
I want you to say into the microphone her, and then I want you to dub it over Stephen A. Smith.
Would you want it, me saying it in his voice? Or
no,
just,
I want you
totally
to just
different?
Just total, so it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Like
so
a robotic voice.
100%.
You know,
like just as monotone as human. Yeah, the TikToks. How much do you think the terrestrial radio audience knows what the hell happens on TikTok? It's very distressing to me, by the way. My favorite couple broke up on TikTok. They had a shared TikTok account. It's a whole dramatic thing. It's something we will save for another day. Meantime, happy, and I should probably look up what birthday it is, although I won't say Candace Parker's name or age just for the sake of being respectful. But in other birthday news, a very happy birthday to Steelers legend and former teammate of Troy Polamalu. A very happy 40th birthday. This is going to make you feel old. Happy 40th to Troy Polamalu.
Former teammate of Ramon Foster.
Okay, are we not on the same page here? Where the hell is...
Happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
What do you think I'm doing over here? I'm out here trying to wish happy birthday. You think I care what you have to say to happy birthday to Troy Polamalu? No, I want Stephen A. Smith. What are we doing? You're not running around back there today. This is an orchestrated bit, Lucas. Theater of the mind.
I'm always running around.
No, you're fine. Everybody can see you on camera, all right? You've incriminated yourself because you are on camera. two out of the three we're going to botch today? This is how today's going to start.
Well, you saved the best for last.
Well, yeah. Well, we don't know the age of this individual.
He told me his age.
Do you know the age?
Yeah.
What is the age?
Well, are you gonna wish him a happy birthday? Do you want me to say it?
No, I need to know how old he is.
He's 106 years old. This is directly from him.
All right. A very happy 106th birthday to 104.5 The Zone's own Kirby Allen Kirby.
And happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
Good luck, Kirby. 106 years old today.
Doesn't look a day over 104.
No, it's honestly, because I don't know Kirby's actual age. I think it's best if none of us know how old Kirby actually is. I'm going to guess he's somewhere in his 60s. And Kirby, for all of the terrible things that he puts in his body, all the Pepsi, all the cigarettes, Kirby looks spectacular.
Dude bounces off walls.
I wish I don't have that. I don't have that kind of energy at 27 that Kirby does at 60 plus. And just, just rotting. But he's not. He looks great. You know, other than the fact that I could smell him coming from all the cigarettes. Anyway, let's open up the notebook, Lucas. We do this each and every Monday. around this time. A bunch of stuff that I don't have time to dedicate a full segment to, but some good stuff that I feel that bothered me over the weekend that I feel we must address. We will open the notebook now. Oh, look at him. He's on his game now because I've called him out for the way he botched Stephen A. Smith. I'm very upset. All right. Let's start with where Lucas and I started over the weekend. Happy hour at Jonathan's. The most dangerous of games. Now, two for ones when I first moved down here at 22, it did not take a toll on me the way that it used to. But two for ones now, just straight up took me out on Saturday. I think at most, I don't really drink that often. Like on any given night, on any given evening out, whether it's at home, you know, having a couple glasses of wine, or whether I have a tequila out at the bar, whatever. Like, it's very rare, even though we make jokes about me being hammered all the time. Most of you probably think I'm a lecherous drunk. It's very rare for me to have more than two tequilas. Well, we did that on Saturday because I was going to go to my first sporting event as a fan, really, not counting Sounds games, since college. And we did that at Nashville SC, or for Nashville SC, to watch them draw against FC Cincinnati, which is where we lead ourselves next. Draws in soccer absolutely infuriate me. And I did. I enjoyed so much. You guys heard me open the show with it. How much I enjoyed Nashville SC's opener of the 2021 MLS season. Spectacular. The effects in the stadium, all of the, you know, the, what do they call it? The back line, the fan section that was sitting in the section of the stadium across from us. I sat in the north end zone, and the back line was there with the drums, the smokes, the let my people goal, Moses dressed up back there. So much fun. But draws in soccer, infuriating to me. The game was good enough to where I almost ignored the fact that somebody did not lose and somebody did not win. But that is always going to be a tough point. Somebody has to win. Somebody has to lose. Nashville SC, good time. Soccer, we got to fix this draw thing. Speaking of tough scenes, what is happening to Tim Corbin infuriates me. Makes me so, so upset. Now, if you didn't see what Tim Corbin said after Sunday's victory over the Vols baseball team, Tim Corbin said, COVID does not exist in Knoxville. And here's the full quote. This environment here, talking about Lindsey Nelson Stadium, I don't know what we're doing in Nashville, but there aren't many seats at UT now. Let me just tell you, COVID does not exist in Knoxville. There are a lot of people having a good time here, having a good time, and sometimes at our expense. We just needed to do our part to play baseball. They created a very, very good environment here for baseball, and I credit them, end quote. So Adam Sparks of the Tennessean did a good job following up with this and asking Tim Corbin to clarify, because Sparks has been doing this long enough. He knows how this was going to go. Because as soon as Tim Corbin says the word COVID, everybody is going to grab it for whatever purpose they want to use it for. I'm seeing articles being written now. Tim Corbin's right. Open everything up. Or people bashing Tim Corbin saying, wow, bad look, coach. You can't say this. Politicizing the simple fact that Tim Corbin dared to say the word COVID. It has become such a polarizing topic that both sides are going to weaponize it in a way that is completely and totally unfair to Tim Corbin. It's an offhand remark. If we had the comment for you, if it was available on video, we would have played it for you so that you could hear it from Tim Corbin's mouth himself. But this made me feel so much anger for what Tim Corbin, because now Tim Corbin's probably going to have to get out there, probably going to have to clarify his comments next time he speaks to the media, which is so stupid, because all Tim Corbin was trying to say is that the fans who were allowed in the stadium at Lindsey Nelson Stadium were having a good time and that it made for a good environment in college baseball. Just so stupid what we do on both sides. Leave it alone. It's okay for somebody to say COVID without making it a big deal, right or left. Let it go. All right, elsewhere. Did you see, Lucas, what happened to Peloton?
No.
Over the weekend. The Peloton news over the weekend, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission says it's aware of at least 39 injuries and one death related to the Peloton's new treadmill. Now, Peloton, you know, everybody got a Peloton, or most people got a Peloton during the pandemic because you're working out at home, gyms are closed, right? So now Peloton has a treadmill. It's called the Tread Plus. And what happens is that even if you leave the machine turned off, it can still pose a risk if the turn-on key is still accessible. Now, in the TMZ article that I read, they attached a video that shows a toddler being pinned under the roller as it's in use. His older sister, there's two kids, older sister, toddler. The older sister turns the machine on, walks away. The toddler gets sucked under the treadmill itself and is like pinned there. Now, fortunately, he gets out. I don't know what the extent of his injuries are, but they're out here making killer treadmills. Killer treadmills. CPSC says this is just one example of the danger. My question is, how are they supposed to test something like that? Like, you can't exactly let, Lucas and I are cat dads. You can't let a cat run by the treadmill and see whether it gets sucked under the treadmill or not. So I understand why Peloton is being beat over the head for this, but, like, what are they supposed to do? All this says to me is that stay the hell away from treadmills, which is not advice that I needed before then. Brunch in Green Hills over the weekend. I went to brunch in Green Hills yesterday, and I live in North Nashville. Now, I am a product very much of privilege. I have been spoiled all across the course of my life. So Green Hills, the environment is nothing that's new to me, all right? But I live in North Nashville, and that's not how we live in North Nashville, if I can make myself a member of the community after a few years of living up there. So I go to brunch in Green Hills, and I feel completely and totally out of place. You got moms going to lunch together, having mimosas, having a gin martini at 10:30 in the morning, talking about how much therapy their kids are needing to have. Meanwhile, you know, in North Nashville, I'm picking alley cats out of the trash and trying to figure out, you know, who lives, who dies. That's what goes on in North Nashville. Brunch in Green Hills, very, very lovely, but made me feel very, very out of place. And that is how we empty the notebook from this weekend. A lot of things going on. The Tim Corbin things, though. So stupid, so ignorant, and so just on brand.
He was not trying to make a statement.
I hate it because it's not one side or the other. Like, I don't care one side or the other what your politics are, how you want to make things political if you choose to make them political. Leave Tim Corbin the hell out of it. Read the quote. Listen to the quote before you go off saying, oh, Tim Corbin's rider. Oh, bad look for the coach. Just shut up. Shut up. Like they tell me all the time, talk sports, dummy. We'll keep talking sports. Coming up next, I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone.